Welcome, Impactful Parents. It's time for the Impactful Parenting Podcast, where I give you parenting tips and resources to make you a more impactful parent to your school-aged child. I am your host, Christina Campos. Today's podcast is a Clubhouse replay. Clubhouse is an app available on Android and Apple devices for free that you can download. And on this app, I host rooms where I talk about parenting. You can find me on Clubhouse with the username Impactful Parent. And this room was a room I hosted that talked about sex after kids. It's a great room, and I hope that you enjoy this replay. And then next time, come join us live on Clubhouse and join the conversation. That's right. We're going to get started on that. This is going to be a great discussion because I feel like nobody talks about this, Rodrigo, and it is very prevalent. Sex absolutely does change after you have kids, and yet we don't really talk about it much. I don't know. I think it's kind of embarrassing, maybe. And that's where we're actually going to start. Hello, Carmen. Welcome to the stage. We're happy to have you today.
Thank you. I'm so excited about this because I have no problem talking about sex. So I love it.
And heck yeah.
And all that fun stuff. Yes.
Me too. I actually really like the more interesting, controversial topics. To me, those are the most fun. So, and so we're going to get started right now. Don't forget to ping people in. Let them know that we're starting our awesome conversation. And I'm always start these my rooms pretty much the same way, because whether we're talking about our kids or we're talking about ourselves as parents, we always kind of need to reflect on the why. Like, why is our kids doing this? And in this case today, why is it that sex change is after kids? So let's start with that, because that gives us a baseline of why, maybe how we could turn this around. But why does it change? I'm going to start with Rodrigo since he's my co-mod, and I will give you some of my things too. So don't worry, I have my own notes and tidbits of why I think that sex changes after kids. But Rodrigo, what's your opinion on that?
I'm so uncomfortable right now. You won't believe.
Since when? You're never uncomfortable.
Yeah, it's funny. It's just funny. So yeah, I would say, yeah, obviously sex does change after kids. There's, you know, considerations there. I think a lot of times what happens is we just don't know how to manage both, you know, kind of things that are going on, right? And the parenting and then ourselves, you know, us as individuals. Because when it comes to parenting, obviously that takes two folks. That takes the parents and the child. And sometimes we don't know how to separate that. You know, we don't find the boundaries that we need to establish. We don't make that time, right? That me time that we need to have. And then especially if you are a single parent or a co-parent, there's a whole nother realm, a whole nother dynamic that you have to consider when it comes to sex, you know, and when it comes to intimacy, being with a partner, you know, I mean, it's small steps a lot of times. Many times when I've been in a partnership or whatnot, I generally don't bring my partner around my kids initially, you know, and so that means that, you know, it's not, I'm going to be, you know, out and about, right? I'm not going to be there at home. And yeah, there's a whole dynamic there that's definitely worth exploring. But I think the biggest thing is just not being able to establish those boundaries or not understanding how to put those boundaries, especially when you're married. I know that when you're married, people kind of have this, you know, this conception that, oh, well, you're married, you know, and you're there, you know, it's going to happen. But man, I remember when I was married, it was tough. You know, we were raising my oldest, and finding time for that intimacy. And even more important, finding the right time and the right feeling to be intimate. You know, it's not just something that you could just kind of turn on sometimes. For some folks it isn't. But yeah, I would say it's just setting those boundaries. I think that's what it is right there.
So Rodrigo, one of the statistics that they say is that after kids, you're going to have 47% less sex than you did before you had kids. Would you agree with that statement? And then Cardman, would you agree with that statement?
Now, does that break it down into married and not married?
No, it doesn't. It just is after kids.
So I will say this. I think when I was married, that is true. And then when I left, when we got divorced, it was not true. And so I think I've been able to kind of, you know, carry that out in my relationships where there's a successful balance between the two. And I wouldn't say that there was a drop. Yeah, that's what I'll go with.
All right, Carmen, 47% less sex after kids, agree or disagree?
Well, technically, it depends on the stages, right? Of how old is the kid? I think when it's a newborn to like about a year, I think it might be a lot more from what I'm hearing, right? Just in general with my friends and when they have new babies, like their focus shifts and they kind of, a lot of people kind of forget that they made this baby with their spouse. And this is, of course, if they're married, right? Or with their spouse or the baby daddy or baby mama, whatever the situation may be. I think in the first year, and I always tell my friends, if you can make it through a first year of a baby, your relationship will be fine. Like then you can start focusing. Even the first 3 years is really hard for you to raise a toddler, right? They need a lot of attention. So I think it may be more. Just because from what I've seen, but you know, we all have to kind of look for that balance, you know, the priorities changes. A lot of people need a lot of understanding, you know, for new mommies and, you know, Christina, right? Like when we have a baby, all of a sudden, you know, there's that focus of our priorities, our babies come first. And we kind of forget a little bit about the partners when we used to nurture them, and there's a little bit of a disconnect with our partners. So without connection, you can't really have sex, right? So it's the body changes, you know, when insecurities come in, some people go through depression. It's just a lot of balancing that we need to talk about. I think as my kids got older and I got in other relationships, I think if you want it, you'll find ways. I mean, there's quickie options everywhere, right? And you just got to play it smart. So it just all depends on the age of the kid. It depends on what your needs are and how far you're willing to go to get those, right, filled. So we'll see.
Two words.
Yes.
Car sex.
Why do you think I have a van?
Yo, did you
Heck yeah, Carmen.
I'm just saying.
I just want to say I've never heard that quickie option stuff before. That's awesome. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Oh, my goodness.
You have to make, like, literally, I think, spouses, like, I think the kid comes in and, you know, sometimes they're literally, you have that 5 minutes and you can, you know, go to the bathroom, you know, whatever you need to do to get that quickie set up. I think that connection needs to be made. It's not just the physical satisfaction, but you know, your partner feels wanted, even if it's for that 5 minute or 2 minute man, whatever.
I love this. I'm laughing because I think that every married couple or every couple, right, but particularly married couples, because even though I'm a single mom, I was married for 13 years. And it is harder to keep that spark alive, I think, as a married couple than it is as a single person. But it's just my opinion. And I think every married couple should have a car that has a bench seat. And I love bench seats. Those are great seats.
It should be a requirement. You know, I think we have to be intentional, right? When you go in, you're like, I know I'm going to have this baby, but I have to remember that I also have a spouse and we both have needs. And you have to be intentional about it. Even if you're tired, you know, lack of sleep is the number one reason why people are not having sex, right? When they have little ones. And, you know, you just kind of drive yourself into that, you know, I'm a mom or I'm a dad and I'm focusing on this, that we forget our partners. So we kind of have to, you know, and that doesn't help with our divorce rate, right? I'm divorced as well, you know, and not for sexual reasons. I will say that I take pride in my giving. But, you know, it's just something that we all kind of need to be intentional about, right? What is it that we need in a relationship, and sex is part of that, feeling wanted and feeling attractive to your spouse and feeling that need.
Now, I completely agree with you, Carmen, but I'm going to play a little devil's advocate here. And I'd love to hear people's opinion from the audience too. Raise your hand, come on up, join this conversation. But of course, women, we have a hard time after kids, not just because of hormones, and that is a huge reason, especially if you are a mother who is lactating. Kind of wish Jessica was in this room right now, because she would definitely be able to tell us how those affect your hormones when you are trying to breastfeed. And literally, you just do not feel the need to have sex quite as much when you have those kind of hormones running through your blood. But on top of that, we have moms being touched out that I don't know if dads realize. And this is really a problem for a lot of moms, where your child's young, whether it's a baby and they're constantly on your body because they're on the teat, literally, or they're young and they're constantly just on top of you and you're caring for them. There's tons of hugs and a lot of great things about having a young child that wants to touch you and you have to carry around everywhere. But the sad fact is that moms will get touched out and then they don't have much left over for their significant other, and specifically for men, who I feel definitely obviously also need sex quite a bit. So just wanted to give you guys an opportunity to talk about that with, you know, when we're talking about all this. And the quality of sex tends to go down after children. So not just the quantity, but the quality also. Now you see a lot of parents, they don't make out anymore. Especially if they have a little bit of an older child, they're not making out. It's not as passionate, you know, it's more pet kissing and not passionate kissing. Sex isn't spontaneous anymore. It's planned. Oh my goodness. So that's buzzkill there for a lot of people. And sometimes it's good to plan your sex out so that you make sure that you have it, but that could definitely take the spark away. And then the door is locked and you have to be quiet and you don't want to, you know, this, all the spontaneity and all the kind of more fun things that you can do, those get eliminated. And I feel like that really brings down the quality sometimes, but I'm sure there's other things that bring down quality. So I want to open it up to the people on the stage. What do you think about that? What brings down the quality of sex life after kids? And maybe, well, after that, of course, we'll start talking about how we can change all of this so that we can all have better sex lives. But again, we're still into the why. Why is it so bad? Why is it different? Because it totally is. So I'm going to open up the stage. Go ahead and go, you guys.
Well, I think a part of it is time. We just do a terrible job after we become parents of compartmentalizing our time. When you want something and you take care of it, you will find the time, right? And so you will definitely make the time. Trust me. There have been times in my life where, you know, I'm doing my thing and I'm like, oh, I'm super busy. I can't tackle this and tackle that. But then I find somebody and I'm attracted to them and you start texting like crazy. You start, you know, hey, what's going on? You start spending time together, this and that. All of a sudden you have this crazy amount of time that you were able to conjure up out of nowhere when you were busy before that, right? And so I think it's a lot of times it is just the inability to compartmentalize that time, because you become parents and we know that before you had your kid, you obviously had some more time, right? Now you have your kid, you don't have as much time, but you really do. And so it's just about prioritizing things. And sometimes we prioritize and spend our time on things that don't directly benefit us. So, you know, you have your kid and you decide, well, you know what, I'm going to play, you know, video games with my kid and then, you know, read a bedtime story to them and so forth. And by the time you get done with all that, you come back and now you're tired and you just feel like, hey, I don't want to go through the whole motion of, you know, making love, you know, and doing all that stuff, right? And there you go. You know what I'm saying? That's why the quality goes down, right? And you start kind of benchmarking things based on that, you know? And unfortunately, a lot of times with intimacy, we also take that as a form of communication. So if somebody suddenly starts having, you know, less or suddenly starting to have less intimate moments with us, or just being less intimate in general, we can take that as a sign of, oh my God, they don't like me, you know, or something's changed or this and that. And that can be particularly, you know, kind of discomforting for women who, you know, when it comes to pregnancy and having kids, they may be, you know, they might be dealing with postpartum or something like that. And so there's a whole bunch of different things and context to take into consideration there. But I think it's just that, you know, prioritization and time.
I agree, Rodrigo, 100%. I mean, time, we all talk about, oh, we're busy. We have these kids. We're not sleeping. You know, we have to be involved in all their activities. And I will tell you, if I can do it as a single mother and I was able to find that time, I think when you want something, you'll make it happen. If you really want to fulfill certain needs, whether it's physical or just in general in life, you know, life happens. We all have to work, you know, we all have to take care of kids. Some have a partner, some, you know, when I mean a partner, like a living partner, that could be even easier, right? But even if you didn't have a living partner, you know, I'm not gonna lie, you know, I've dated since I've been single, and I make sure I take care of everything. And I tell everyone, I have like 10 kids. And yes, they're teenagers now, but I've had them since they were little. And, you know, I make sure they do what they need to do. So, you know, I make sure my house is clean. I cooked, I did dinner, whatever. I put my kid to sleep and I'm like, oh, I can sneak out for an hour. I'll be back, right? And I put him to sleep. I'm like, mom, the kid's right there. I'll be back. And if you want something, if you really want it, you will find time and you will find that balance. And, you know, sleep is overrated sometimes. Yeah, we need it, but we don't need 10 hours. I'll cut down to 8 if necessary.
And I just want
to... So 2 hours in the bank.
I was going to ask you to go ahead and go. You've been waiting. Welcome to the stage.
And I just want to say that, too, it's a little bit of creativity, right? When I was married, I had my baby, and my ex-husband traveled a lot for work. And it's really funny. We struggled, and I guess if we had found that kind of sweet spot of like being creative, you know, the whole phone sex, because when we were dating, that's what we would do, because he lived in California and I lived in Utah. And it's really finding that creativity of like, I'm going to text you, you know, kind of like do that foreplay throughout the day, so that when your partner gets home, you already have that desire for each other. So it's also finding that creativity on how does my partner get turned on, or how does, you know, kind of heating up the boiler, for lack of better words. But, you know, it doesn't always have to be just like physical, you know, sex. It could also be, you know, phone sex. It could be texting each other stuff. It can be, you know, sending each other voice memos. Man, I'm desiring you right now, or I'm craving you, whatever. It's finding that creativity for me, at least.
Yes, girl.
And I'm done.
Santiago, did you have something you wanted to add?
I had just commented on Carmen's thing that, you know, she dedicates 2 hours for the van time, so that's cool.
The van has needs too, okay? And all kinds of positions can happen in a van, and it also helps me with my soccer team. So it has a lot of multifunctional items in that process.
So many jokes. I'm just going to pass it back to Christina. Go ahead, Christina.
Well, and I like to go into too, like, how then do we flip it around? I mean, Lupita brought up a great suggestion that yes, we need to like start to think
creatively. How do we spark it up? So I'm going to get a little more personal here and say, okay, if we got to spark it up, I mean, what are some of the ways that we can do that? We got to give the audience an opportunity to get some ideas. I don't know if anybody has tried doing costumes and doing role plays with that, and if that's something that's interesting for men. I always find this really interesting because, like, to me, I mean, I actually really like dressing up. I love Halloween. It's one of my favorite holidays. So I like the idea of getting into character. At the same time, I feel ridiculous if I'm doing it in this bedroom setting only. For me, it has to be a costume that I actually would wear out into the world, so it can't be too crazy, or, you know, wear it for longer than just the day. And then that actually even plays somewhat of a foreplay for me, so that later on, I'm just not getting dressed particularly for the event of sex in a costume. To me, I don't know, that kind of takes away the spark of it. But if I can wear a costume all day long, and then the finale is to be able to turn on my partner, then I'm much more up for it. But I wanted to get your ideas and just ideas and comments on costumes, anything you've tried, anything that you think might work for people listening in the audience as we try to help them with their sex after kids.
Well, one thing before I talk about like all the other things that I might have experienced or enjoy myself, I think we have to be intentional, right? As when we all become parents, we have to literally put it in our minds that we have a partner and there's things that not only your partner needs, but you need physically, right? We tend to forget about ourselves because we do have that need. We need to feel special. We need to feel wanted, desired, and all that fun stuff. So I think we need to first and foremost say, yes, I have this child, but I have to be intentional about not forgetting my relationship. And part of making that relationship work, sex is a big part of it, right? Yes, we have everything else, but a lot of people need that connection. So, you know, just be intentional. I'm all about props. I'm all about, you know, people talk about the five languages of love, right? I think that there's sexual languages that we need to discuss with our partners. There are certain things your partner, you need to have that open communication. You know, what is it that you like? And if you really love someone, you'll give it a try. And yes, even if you feel, you know, Christina, as you said, you know, Halloween is, I always tell everyone, that's the time I hoe it up without being judged, right? But when we're in the bedroom and if we talk about lingerie and getting all that, it takes a lot for you to become confident, especially after you have a child. As a woman, your body changes, and that's when the men need to actually be acknowledgeable of that and make sure that they're making their women or their partner feel attractive, right? Like stretch marks, extra body weight or whatever, you know, just things change, right? So you men have to work, or partners have to work in building that security for their partners and making them feel sexy, and that will get you what you want. Then we'll freely be like, oh look, you know, I got this skimpy lingerie for you, and you start feeling more secure, more comfortable around your partner. But it's a two-way street, right? Yeah, as well with them, you gotta be like, oh baby, that belly's looking sexy. If that's what happens, you gotta make them feel sexy, right? And they will open up more sexually.
Oh yeah, so many women will need those words of affirmation after they have kids, because it looks different. I still look in the mirror every day and like, who is this woman staring back at me? I do not look like the person inside my head, which was 20 something. And for whatever reason, that's kind of like that vision of myself in my brain. And I'm not that girl anymore, four kids later. So it's still shocking to me. And any words of affirmation that my partner can give me is so helpful, especially after having kids. I'd like to welcome Dr. Anita to the stage. Welcome to the stage. What would you like to contribute today?
Hey, everybody. This is such a great conversation, such a great topic. I'm a wellness coach for moms, and so this subject comes up a lot during my coaching sessions. And you were asking just to give some suggestions as far as, you know, to keep that spark going. And I just say keep it simple. Just send a nice little text you know, in the middle of the day to your husband. And that just kind of will open up the doors to, you know, to look forward to the night. And of course, guys, you know, do the same for the ladies. But send a text message, do a little call, flirt, you know, like we used to do back in high school or when we first started dating. All those things need to be brought up again. I've been married for 10 years, just to give a background, and it's just so important to keep that flame going and to not let the three kids damper everything. That's all I want to say right now.
Rodrigo, I'll let you go here in a second. I was just going to say that effort, it goes away. It's so sad. You know, we put in so much effort when we meet somebody, when we're excited about them, and then suddenly the effort goes away when we get comfortable. And I hate that. I absolutely hate that. I was actually going to ask Rodrigo and Santiago, do you guys realize that as men, one of the greatest turn-ons for many women is just helping us around the house?
Like, hey, I just finished doing laundry right now. I'm cooking for us this evening. And, you know, I just wanted to bring it back real quick. When I was a kid, and I was probably like 10, I don't know, for some reason I always been like a hopeless romantic, but I remember hearing this song de Oscar de León, that goes, sácala, llévala al cine, you know, all that stuff, even though you're married. That's a classic song that I remember, it stuck to me, that I told myself, siempre ser detallista, you know, always be detail-oriented. And that's one of the things that I do, like, I'll randomly... Like, we'll be driving down in the city, right? Second Avenue, there's a million bodegas, and, you know, half of them have flowers. I'll stop, and if I see, like, a sunflower, you know, that they sell, City loves sunflowers, boop, pull over, hey, you know, and I'll surprise her with that. I mean, I think that's super crucial. And I think I told her one time, like, you know what? I'm going to stop spoiling your ass if you keep acting up. You know, so I think she was like, whoa. And she's like, you do that, I swear to God, I'll think something's up, because that's totally unlike you. I mean, we've been together 12 years now. This year, we've known each other for 30 years. But it's crazy. Like, I think that it's super important to be well-balanced, but that it's got to be a two-way street, you know? And I'm going to be, you know, I'll keep it real. Like, we have two teenage daughters, so now we have to be quieter, because obviously the girls, they pick up on things. Obviously, they're, you know, teenagers. So we just got to get creative around that as well.
Just get a van. You'll be good.
No. So we have a CRV, and I make sure to have a sunroof, because, you know, you don't want to twist anybody's neck.
Rodrigo, go ahead.
Yeah, I appreciated what Dr. Anita was talking about earlier. I did not grow up with that song, and I did not have great behavior modeled for me growing up. So I definitely needed to be trained. And one of the best things that I learned from a partner of mine was date night. Date night is so critical. It is just, it's an agreed upon time for my partner and I at that time. It was a Tuesday night. And Tuesday night coincided with movies, the discount movie nights or whatever. So for the most part, probably about, you know, I don't know, more than half of the time, we always ended up watching a movie. But we dedicated that time to us. We just said, hey, that's our time. Doesn't matter what's going on with the kids. We're going to, if my son has baseball practice on that day, he's, you know, my son's mom's got to take care of him. If her daughter has, you know, something going on that day, we got to make arrangements for one of her friends' parents to do it, whatever the case may be. But we knew that every week, Tuesday night was our night. And let me tell you something, that worked wonders. When we had our date nights, we looked forward to it. We knew that was our time. We had kind of a small little respite from the remainder of the week. It didn't mean we didn't do other things during the rest of the week. We still went out and we would do things. But even if we didn't, let's say we get caught up with the whole, you know, rigmarole, right? And the whole week is just shot. And I had my kids that weekend and I left and I went to San Antonio. And she stayed, you know, at home with her kids, blah, 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 whatever. We knew that every Tuesday we were going to do something. And it was going to be dinner. It was going to be a movie. And, you know, usually, you know, we kind of figured out like, hey, we're going to do this and it'll lead to that. And the intimacy was there. And it was just keeping that spark, keeping that chemistry and keeping that intentionality behind the time that we spent with each other. We knew that we valued each other enough to make that time. And it worked. It worked fantastically. And I think anytime, you know, when I'm in a relationship, I definitely want to make that a priority. That way, regardless of what's going on, you know, I'm saying, hey, this time right here is specifically allotted for us. And, you know, and from there, you can kind of grow something from there and maybe carry it on to the next, you know, day or, the, you know, whatever and go from there. But yeah, I think that's really important.
Yeah, I guess it just goes back to what everybody's been saying, that if it's important to you, you find the time, you figure it out. And I hope that people are trying to do that. You know, there another thing that a lot of people don't realize is there are coaches actually that specializes in just this, just helping you regain that spark after kids, especially. I think I even know a few coaches that specialize in helping women specifically, but it's a couple thing. So if you don't know, there are coaches that do that. If you're in a place where you're like, I need a little extra help, there is absolutely no shame in asking for help and really trying to improve your marriage. It could save your marriage in a lot of ways, or your relationship of any sort. So because like Rodrigo mentioned earlier, single people tend to have better sex lives, I feel like, than a lot of married people. And married people have a partner with them all the time, where single people have to go and seek out their partner. It takes a lot more efforts and things like that. But again, it goes back to also, okay, so married people might have their partner all the time, but does it get monotonous? Does it, are they not carving out those date nights so that they're making that time to be alone, versus a single parent? Not most people have traditional divorces where the kids will be with the other partner half of the time. And so the other half of the time, they have this availability to let loose a little bit more and find people to date and be able to still create a lot of spontaneous moments in their sex life, which I think helps quite a bit. But I don't know, you know, I just, again, would love to hear any comments on that or any things that you, any suggestions. I guess my next throw suggestion for people who are listening or trying to figure out how to spark things up is no shame in bringing in some toys too into the bedroom to help you and your partner. And I think that those, if you have never gone into those kind of stores, there are so many different options. And I'm always surprised how many people have not even gone into those stores because there's a stigma there maybe, or embarrassment. And if that's you and you're listening to this, I would just say it's okay. They're very professional. They're pretty fun. You can find anything from lingerie to a lot more exotic things that might make you look twice at, but that's okay. And you really can find just about every social class inside those stores. And there isn't much of a stigma in it than you realize. I would guess try to encourage you to explore in that direction. But I think toys are a great way to spice things up and make things more interesting. What do you guys think? Rodrigo, do you use any toys?
I want to know.
Hey, Carmen, so what do you think? What do you think?
Look, I'll be honest. I think anything that works, like turns on your significant other or yourself to have maximized, even if it's the quickie, use it. There's tools. I mean, we use tools with everything that we do in our lives, right? With work, I need a computer to get my work done, right? So maybe in the bed, you need a little toy here and there. It's whatever turns you and your partner on. I'm all about increasing the whole desire moment, even if it's short, right? Make it, do it. Do whatever toys, you know, there's this tense of a lot of options. Things that I was, you know, I don't know if you guys have ever been to like a sex toy party, but I learned a lot from those. And I'm like, oh my God, that stuff, you guys do that? And I'm always like that older lady that's like, oh my God, I've never thought that those things went that way, right? So use them, try them. Sometimes it's just fun to try something new together, right? Like, so toys, I'm all about it. I'm down, but I definitely have my limits. There's some things I will not try.
I'm curious if anybody has any traumatizing childhood memories from walking in on their parents. and maybe because that'll affect you as an adult, as your own parenting. Like, I think I do, because I have one where I was kind of a little traumatized. And I will tell you, I am so much more careful now as a parent because of that. Did you guys ever have anything like that happen to you?
I can't say that that's ever happened to me, but you know, I know I avoided the whole toy, you know, discussion or whatnot, but I have to admit that's something that I think culturally I just have not gotten over. You know what I'm saying? There's this thing, you know, I mean, come on, man, I'm Mexican, right? And so I grew up like, you know, in the Loteria, you see the guy's name is El Valiente, right? And he's got his open shirt chest and he's got a dagger. And I think he's even dragging a woman by her hair or something. I don't even remember what it is, right?
Damn.
But he's like a badass, right? And this and that. And I think culturally, I still have that. And so not necessarily that there's a stigma there, but like me, I just like toys. I've never had toys in the bedroom, you know, never. And that's not
okay,
to say
I had a question for you, Rodrigo. Wait a second. Are you saying that if a woman were to bring in a toy, that it, do you feel like it takes away from you?
No, and, like, okay. So you asked us, like, have we ever used toys or like introduced them and stuff? I definitely have never done that. I've also never been with a partner that ever introduced them or even suggested them. Now, was that because they felt like they couldn't broach the subject? Was that because they didn't like them either, or they never used them either? I don't know. I really don't know. You know, I would have to say that I don't think I would be against it, but at the same time, I just, you know, I've never needed them. I don't think, you know, I've had a very satisfying sex life where I just don't feel like I need them. But if my partner wanted them, I guess I would be okay with them. I mean, see, look, I'm even smiling saying that, like, like I'm gonna be yelling voice at her, like, why the fuck you need these toys? No, I'm just kidding. I don't know how I would approach it. So yeah.
No, I agree. I think Rodrigo brought a good point, right? Culturally, you know, that's at least in the Latinx or Latino, whatever you want to call it, right? We are very, like, sexuality is not something that our parents really talked about. And I remember, like, in my culture, you know, I'm from Peru, they would almost shame you for, like, you know, they call it mañosa or something like that, that if you were intrigued in a sexual way, it was almost like they were shaming you. So when, like, for me, it's very, and I'm learning, right, as I continue to learn, I'm learning a lot about, like, being open with my sexuality and the things that I need and being open to trying new things. But that was not something that 10 years ago I felt comfortable with, right? That was like, oh my God, if I mention a toy, are they going to judge me that maybe I'm a freak? And now I'm like, heck yeah, I'm a freak. I don't care. Like, this is, yeah, I'm all about making my partner happy, and I'm hoping that he's willing to do the same thing and having that open communication. Like, hey, baby, how will you try this? Now, I can understand in a men's perspective, and probably it'll be a little graphic, right, that you have your partner and you don't want to make them feel any less than certain things, right? You don't want to bust out with a dildo that's twice his size. That could be a little, you know, I don't know. I think it would make the men feel a certain way, right? So there's other
toys. I don't think that's like etiquette. Like, you can't pull anything
out.
Not
even going to make a joke. Jesus Christ.
That is just etiquette 101.
yes, right? And there's other toys, right? A lot of us that didn't, when I started learning about this stuff, like, I always thought when people say toys, sex toys, I thought it was just the regular, like, replacement almost of what, you know, if you're single. But no, there's, like, you know, edible underwears, lotions, little here and there, like, other little toys that don't have to make your partner feel like you're not satisfying them or they're not satisfying you. It's to increase the feeling of it all and maximize it and enjoy it too. I always said, like Rodrigo said, you know, I've always had a great sex life. But I will say with certain toys, it does
do a little more and that I didn't know that could happen. Just a thought.
From the man side, this is Doc Rico. I guess in my early 20s, I was seeing someone who was all about the toys, and I was very comfortable with it and have been very comfortable ever since. So, I mean, bring it on. Toys, whatever, I'm good. I don't feel emasculated. I think it's actually funny sometimes. You know, and if you're very playful with your partner and she's comfortable with it, you know, there's a lot of cool things you can do with it. So I'm all game. You know, men, don't feel like you're not performing. Just go with it. Actually, yeah. for those lazy men who, you know, use that as, you know, something that can, you know, make it go faster, you know, if you're that type of guy. But, you know.
It enhances.
What did you say right now?
For the lazy men, you know, the ones that are, you know, the midden men. You know, it helps you out.
I'm just
saying, I don't even know what Don Rico's saying at this point.
Stop holding back, Rodrigo. Come on.
No, I'm not holding back. Again, and I wanted to reiterate this point, right? Because it is a cultural thing. I know for a fact, for me, it is, because my best friends and I, we have a group chat, right? And we're guys the same, roughly like me, right? I'll just say that. And we have these conversations sometimes, and even among best friends, we're guys, whatever, right? We still have kind of a discomfort discussing that. And we actually ask each other that, like, hey, you know, what's going on with, you know, my wife, this and that. Have you ever had that happen to y'all? This and that. It is a wild situation when we have those conversations. Because even, again, we're best friends of like 30 years, right? We met in sixth grade. And we still have like a certain discomfort over that. And still rib each other too. You know, we make jokes that kind of border on that, right? And so it is definitely a cultural perspective thing for me. I wouldn't say I'm deficient on it, though, because at the same time, I'm not against it. I just haven't had a partner that's introduced it, nor have I ever really explored it that way. You know, I feel like what I lack in toys, I make up for like in locations and variety, I guess. You know what I'm saying? I guess that would be my spicing it up in the bedroom or outside the bedroom. But I think Lupita had something to say.
And I think that you're very right when you talk about cultural stuff, because for me, for a long time, I kind of shied away from it. But I think for me, it goes back to foreplay. You know, one of the things that me and my ex-husband did right is kind of learning how to do that. And for me, like having a vibrator and having your partner like control it through their iPhone. And you're at dinner, or you're at a concert, or you're at this, and your partner's trying, like, you know, turning you on, that's fucking sexy. To me, yeah. That's fucking sexy. Or, you know, and even this whole, like, your partner watching you be turned on, and just having that moment where he gets to just watch you in glory, I think that, to me, is sexy. And so it has absolutely nothing to do whether you can perform or not. It's just about enjoying your partner, be turned on, be you know, feeling the feels. that I'm done.
I'm so, like, I agree. So picture this, right? As we were talking about, like, sex after kids, right? Let's say you buy your significant other, you live together, you have the kids in the house, you buy your significant other one of those panties that have a vibrator, right? You have that control in your phone, and she's sitting there cooking, doing her mom thing, right? And all of a sudden you just hit that button, right? And you guys know, and the kids don't know what's going on, right? So you have to kind of get really creative. You know, I think it's easier to have, when you have a living partner, to have sex when the kids are little, because they have no clue. And as they get older, you have to be a lot more creative. Like, you know, all the time the kids are knocking at the door, like, mom, why is the door closed? Mom, why is the door closed? And it's like, crap, what was that sound? They know a little bit more what sex is. So you have to get more creative the older they get. But toys are, you know, will enhance that in your marriage, your relationship. And like Lupita said, you know, it's all about foreplay. And even if sex doesn't happen, that moment, just the kind of drive and just the thought about it the whole day. And then at night, you're like, you know, I've been playing with you the whole day. And this little button has gotten you thinking about this all day and you desired even more. So definitely, I'm all for it.
I want to make sure that people who have never been into those stores, just like Lupita said, it doesn't, I think when we, people who haven't been in the stores, they think of this image of what that's going to look like inside, that there's just going to be all like a whole row of penises and various sizes and stuff on the wall. And I'm not saying that's not that.
It's not.
But there's so much more than in those stores. Like Lupita was saying, you know, those vibrators that you could put inside panties and he's controlling it, those are in those stores. The edible stuff, the other stuff that you could put on him to make things taste different. There's lotions, there's ropes, there's swings, there's all these things that you can, I mean, really you have to go in there and see what's going to be a best fit for you. So again,
just online, right, Christina? Online. If you're too embarrassed to go there, try it out. Go online. Try it out.
Great idea, Carmen. Yes, yes, yes. Go online. Or like you had mentioned earlier, they have those little parties. In fact, if you back channel me, I have a friend who does those too. So I could definitely connect you. And then that's a more personal experience with somebody who can come in and to either your home or even do it virtually now. To have those parties to educate you on how you could might need to spice things up or want to spice things up that might fit you. Go ahead, Rodrigo.
Christina, does the Impactful Parent app have that capability?
Not yet. But for women, you know, foreplay is super important to us. We don't typically, not all of us, but don't typically get turned on right away. And I'm wondering for the men here on the stage, is foreplay important to you as you get older? I know maybe it wasn't quite as much when you were younger, but now that you are more mature men and maybe you're in a relationship, how important is the foreplay, or is it really not for you and you're really just doing it for us?
Don't jump all at once. Come on.
No, I was going to let Doc Rico say, but no, for me, no, foreplay is crucial. I've always been pro foreplay. I definitely don't mind that. My intention is always to make sure that my partner's pleased. That's first and foremost, you know, so whether that means, you know, I'm doing it for her, you know, or I enjoy it, it doesn't really matter, you know? So for me, that's always been kind of a critical component of that. I don't expect just like, hey, you know, this and that. Although, you know, if it happens, it happens that way. But for the most part, I definitely understand and appreciate, you know, the lead up, you know what I'm saying? And kind of, you know, all that it entails, the intimacy and whatnot. I feel it's very important. I do recognize that when I was younger, I was still very, like I said, I've always liked that. But I would just say the sex was different, right? The sex was much more just like, I don't know. I'm venturing into like uncharted waters here talking publicly about this, but it was much more like exercise almost, like you're going out there, you're like, you know, doing your thing and just whatever, as opposed to like now that I feel, you know, it's definitely much more intimate, much more about the moment and making sure that, you know, my partner feels comfortable, that she's enjoying it, that's what she wants, you know, stuff like that. I mean, yeah, definitely when you're younger as a guy, I'll speak for myself, you know, it's a totally different type of vibe as opposed to the way it is now. And especially when I, you know, became a dad, I mean, it just kind of changed things, right? Just like, you know, moms, they go through their changes, dads do too. And sometimes, and maybe not to the extent that, you know, moms do, but dads definitely do have a change. And there might be a kind of a relaxation when it comes to the putting in quote unquote the work, you know what I'm saying, and stuff like that. So, but yeah, it's definitely different from back then. I don't know. Doc Rico's probably been a master lover since 12.
I remember I'm a nerd. I went to engineering school. Yeah, I was a late bloomer. So it was much later. It wasn't 12. But anyway, I can't really talk about sex after kids because I never had kids, and I'm in the middle of my wife being pregnant now. So I am not the sex after kids yet. Again, late bloomer. I spent my whole life basically single until my 40s. So I don't know what that would be at this point. No, after we have kids, I really don't know. I've always been one to please. So, and I will keep it as that because my wife is very private about her stuff. So
I'm wondering too, you know, since you were talking about the cultural kind of blocks that our culture has on sex, you know, there men in Hispanic culture, they're very dominant. They're very, very masculine. It's something that I tend to really gravitate to as a Latina woman. But what if a woman wants to be dominant in the bedroom? Does that make it more intimidating for a Hispanic man, or is it welcome? I'm curious.
Define dominant. There's many definitions, just define, because some men might not understand what that means.
I also feel like too, with the man, like, does this happen after you have kids and you become dominant after you have kids, or were you dominant before kids? Because I would think that'd be something that you were into to make the kids.
Yeah, that definitely is a good point, and it could go either way, you know. But it was worth. I come from the point of thinking, you know, how do we spice things up when after kids? And one of the things that women could do is try to be dominant. But I don't want to encourage that if it's not going to work well for our Latino men. And we are doing this under the Amigos Club, so that this is a majority of our audience. So I was speaking to Latinos, you know, I don't want to give bad advice. So I literally am genuinely curious, is that something that would be beneficial for a woman to try to spice things up? Or is that really not going to go there? Like, is that going to just backfire?
Again, when you're referring to dominant, I mean, is the woman more aggressive? Or no, is she's the one seeking the more intimacy or the sex versus the man always, you know, initiating? Is that what you're referring to?
I would say dominant for me would be something like the woman kind of makes the choices as to what position, you know, to start on a low spectrum, right? Like she, all of a sudden, you know, usually men are kind of the ones to drive the situation. But what if she flips you over and she wants to be like, no, I want to try this and this is, and I want you to do this, right? And she starts running the show, right? And being that process, you know, sometimes a lot due to our cultural beliefs, you know, that's not usually how it goes. But I think that a lot of men may not know what they like until they try it, right? And I would encourage women to try it every now and then to take control of the situation and see how their men react. If they don't like it, then you probably don't want to do it again. Just like any new position, toys or whatever, try it out. If it doesn't work, because a lot of people may not know that that's a turn on. They're going to be like, oh, crap, I didn't know that was going to get me there. Right? So try it.
Wait. Bring out the whip. You're telling me she's going to give me directions and tell me exactly the way she wants it?
Yes.
And make it easy for me?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, I have no fucking problem with that.
Yeah, I'm good with that, too.
I've been in those situations before. I have no problem with that. I think that cuts out a lot of the work. I could definitely figure it out on my own. But if she tells me that, and I've had women, like, I will get feedback. I have no fucking problem with that. I would like I want to make sure that my partner's being pleased. I want to make sure that she likes what's going on. And you know, once you develop a relationship and you've been there with time, those things become easier. Where at the end of the day, I already know what you want. I know exactly how, you know, you're gonna want this, and you know, we're gonna make sure that it's good and go from there. So for me, a dominant woman, to me, that's not a problem at all.
Right. And I think that, Christina, back to your question, like that all also really goes back to the individual man and like their own personal insecurity, because I wouldn't have a problem with a dominant female either before kids or after kids, you know. And I just think that, again, that goes back to whatever the man is more so comfortable with and being insecure, because I think more than anything, why can't men or women, no matter the race, just sit down and say, hey, I like my being flicked like this way, or, you know, I want it done this way. That's really what it boils down to, is somebody's comfortability in telling their partner what exactly freaky nasty thing that they actually like. And that's where the real uncomfortableness comes in, because sometimes kids are made without the notion that they're, because they're not thought of, you know. So we have sex, you know, we have fun, and we're not really necessarily worried about pleasing somebody. It's more the spontaneousness, it's that quick whatever. And then a kid comes and we're dating and we end up more, and it's like, whoa, well, this doesn't really please, this isn't, you know, that was then, this is now. And coming back to that person and saying, hey, I might need some more sides, or like, I might, you know, I think I need to do this or that. You know, it's having that comfortability before kids, knowing that you have that communication, so that afterwards, when your body changes that line of communication, there shouldn't be anything changed.
That's a great, I love that. Melissa, welcome to the stage. What would you like to contribute?
Hi. Thank you so much for this room. I totally needed it. I'm a single mom, and I'm dating right now a younger guy. And it's all about attention, I guess. With the father of my kids, I was having trouble just saying what I really liked, because he was like judging me all the time, and he was kind of shaming me because, you know, when I was pregnant, I was on all the time. I really wanted it, like, everywhere, and just like every time. So when I was just right, my kids just started running around and having the time to have sex again, I was so ashamed that I didn't like it. I was like, I was bored and feeling like uncomfortable with my decision. Now I'm dating this guy, and he's like so attentive all the time. So I think it's about that. It's about the connection that you make, the attention, and the compromise. You know, I don't like that. That's something really uncomfortable for me, and just don't do that, do this instead. And I think the communication is going to be wonderful if you're willing to do that. But always with the non-judgment, you know, non-judgmental mentality about it, because, you know, us women usually get that, people like me, and it's uncomfortable. We don't deserve that. So yeah, thank you for this room. My name is Melissa Mia, and I'm from Puerto Rico. Thank you very much. And hi, Dr. Igor.
What wanted to add to what Melissa was saying, and I hope that was in tail with what really what Stefano and I were saying. You know, you got to make sure your partner's comfortable. You know what I'm saying? That they part of that comfort means that you're not going to judge them. If they request something or they want something, and we start imposing our own values on them like that, that just fucks up the whole mood. You know what I'm saying? And it just messes things up. And, you know, if your partner requests something, I had a partner one time that asked me to choke her. Okay. Now, look, I've never done that shit before in my life. Right. And here I am. And she's like teaching me like do it like this, and put your thumb here and this and that. And trust me, it was probably one of the more uncomfortable kind of intimate levels at that point. Right. But that's what she wanted. You know what I'm saying? And I'm not going to judge her. I'm not going to say like, hey, you know, that's fucking weird or something like that, just because of my limitations, you know, say my limitations on knowledge and comfort and all that. So you definitely bring up a great point. And that happens a lot, especially when you're parents and you've had your kids, and now you're not a parent. You were not a parent before, but now you're a parent. But then you want to go back to when you weren't a parent, when you were, as Stefano would say, like, you know, a freak, you know, when you were nasty and doing this and that. It's kind of hard to kind of compartmentalize that sometimes once you have a kid, you know, you end up kind of just staying in that parent mode where, you know, you're the safety and the nurturing and all that stuff, both as a father and as a mother. So thank you so much, Melissa, for sharing that. Ugo, I see that you have Mike. Oh, Stefano, you had something you want to add before we go?
If
to
I can, and I'm off the and I'll be off the stage. But I also think with ladies too, consider like when it comes to men. Like I have plenty of straight guys that per se like they're salad tossed, but how many of them are afraid to go to a woman and actually sit there and say that without being looked as less of a man or gay
or, you know, whatever the case may be. So I definitely understand where Melissa's coming from, and I agree. And I also think, too, that's a just another perspective to throw out there that even men have coming to a woman with certain things.
Great point, Stefano. Great, great point there. Hugo, how are you doing? And what would you like to add to the conversation?
Hi there. I'm doing good. I don't know. I've been listening and I keep wanting to respond to different things, but I wasn't on the stage. But as far as the toys, can you hear me? First of all,
we can.
As far as toys, yeah. I mean, it depends on the guy. Some guys don't care for it. Maybe it has to do with culture, or they only think of a few things are available and they don't see that it's a manly thing. But there's guys that are fine using toys to spice things up. And like you said, there's all kinds of things, lotions, underwears. And about the being dominated, yeah, there's guys that like that. I have no issues with that. I mean, and I'm Latino, so just because they're Latino doesn't mean they're not into certain things. I guess it depends how they grew up, or maybe because I'm a American, nice Latino is different. I don't know. But I guess it depends on the person, you know, if they're okay with being dominated or playing with toys, or like you said, the thing about having a toy that's bigger than the guys, that's like a no-no. I mean, I have no issue with it unless my girlfriend's solely using that instead of me because it's bigger. But in most cases, it wouldn't bother me. It's just something to have fun with. That's it for now.
Christina, you know what I'm hearing? I'm hearing, and I think we all can agree, is communication, you know, being comfortable with your partner and within your sexuality, and also, you know, being open-minded. Give it a try. You're not going to know if you like something. If you know, spice it up, keep it spicy. So communication is definitely key. And in order to have a healthy, enjoyable sex life, I think it's very important that you feel comfortable with your partner, have those talks, and not feel that you're going to be judged. Definitely don't judge, because that will close up shop really quick.
Very much agree with you, Carmen. Thank you so much for that. And thank you, Hugo, for that too. It's really individualized, right? I mean, I grew up in a very structured culture where I grew up Catholic, but I wasn't necessarily adhering to all that stuff. But there are parts of me that do adhere to that restraint on masculinity, you know? That's a much deeper conversation, what Stefano was bringing up. But there is those restrictions on guys, right? We can't explore our sexuality the same way that women do. We really can't, right? When we see two women kiss, it's kind of almost accepted. But if two men kiss, a lot of men will start judging those men, you know what I'm saying? And even women will. And so it's very just, you know, kind of all kinds of societal structures that kind of lend itself to that. But just to wrap that up, you know, I think it is important, like Carmen was saying, not to judge us, not to judge your partner, whether because they are, you know, conservative or they're liberal, you know what I'm saying, with their intimacy. To be open with that and to, you know, kind of explore stuff and communicate. You know, if you don't like something, say it, you know, say like, I really don't like that, you know, and that's okay. You know, there might be something behind that. There might be something to explore that's, you know, restricting that, or it might just be a pleasure thing. Like, hey, I just don't like it. It's not my thing. I don't really, you know, that's not the thing that really, you know, set me off like that, you know, but the openness to discovering other things is definitely key. And I think one of the biggest things, and I want to reiterate the point, is that when you do make that transition from being a couple, from being single, then into a relationship, being a couple and then married, or just going straight to being a parent, that is a huge change. And the best thing you can do with that change is keeping the lines of communication open. We always make sure that our partners understand, you know, what's going on. If there is a change, let's talk about it. As a mediator myself, I mediate alternative dispute resolution involves custody battles, civil cases, divorces, and such. And I'm also a co-parent consultant slash coach. And one of the biggest things that I always come across is the communication. It always boils down to that. And a lot of times things that people are holding on to or they resent or whatnot was because they failed to communicate. They were the ones that didn't actually say what was the issue. You know what I'm saying? They felt it, but they're like, well, you know, I was making this sacrifice and I didn't get mad because of this, because of that, you know? And so they felt like, you know, oh, I didn't say it. I sacrificed. But then at the end of the day, I still felt resentful. And so one of the biggest things that you can do when you are coming across to, you know, maybe talking about, you know, okay, we just had our baby. Let's, you know, what are we doing to spice it up? Being open to having that communication. And I think that's really critical to make sure that you preserve that. Dorigo, you wanted to add something?
Just communicate. Oh, I'm sorry. I had my thing open.
I was eating open? What are you talking about?
My mic. I had my mic open. Sorry. I was eating a sandwich. Actually, yes, communication, I think, is very crucial. And be open-minded. Do not offend, because this is sensitive, you know. People put your partner puts their trust in you. And if they open up and you crap on them, either by judging them, then they're not going to open up to you again. So it's very important to always be open-minded, because it's a sensitive topic, you know. People, think it was Carmen saying, you know, you felt, you know, like you want, or not Carmen, sorry, Melissa, you felt like you were embarrassed, you know, when you opened up. And so, you know, it's very important, I think. I've come to that conclusion. Just be honest and be open-minded and be aware of the person's feelings as well, because those are valid feelings. And if you do not take it seriously, you can ruin your relationship with your partner. And that's all I got to say.
I was going to ask, like, I'm sure there's somebody in the audience that's like, oh my gosh, this all sounds so good. It's so easy to communicate. But what do you guys say when someone doesn't have the space or place to communicate it and they literally cannot go to their partner and say that, or it may be ruined, or it could just lead to a ton of other problems? So what do you do when you don't have that space?
I would say work on creating that space first, right? Because that's just a whole other issue, right? If you can't communicate on regular terms about anything, sex is probably the last topic in that level of communication, right? You need to be able to communicate about your feelings. And if you can't communicate about your feelings with your partner, I can only imagine that you wouldn't be able to feel comfortable or open to communicating about your sexual desires. So that's definitely therapy required. Find a way to communicate with your partner. And if you can't communicate with that, I don't know how long that's going to last. Just my opinion.
Agree.
Yeah, I love that, Carmen. I actually learned that from marriage counseling. Sex is a symptom. It's not actually the issue most of the time. And so, you know, we communicate via our intimacy. And a lot of times if the intimacy is lacking or something's wrong or something happens, it's usually a greater issue, not the sex itself. So thank you for sharing that, Carmen. Go ahead, Christina.
No, I think it's just been such a great conversation. I mean, we've been just so seamlessly gone over our hour, but everything was said was just so rich and so many great topics that we talked about. And it's actually a beautiful way to end what Rodrigo was saying there, that he learned in that the sex is really a symptom of probably whatever is going on in your relationship. So if you're listening to this and you want to spice things up and I feel like you're stuck, I'm sure that somewhere along the way, there's probably other areas that you're stuck. And so this is where we can just identify those. And you can't change anything until you identify it. So if bottom line is today, you got to identify something else that might be happening in your relationship, now you can work on that. Now you can put an effort, put some energy into correcting it, and hopefully it will trickle down and improve your sex life as well and allow you to become more open with your partner and all the things that we said today. Just thank you, everybody who came up on stage, who contributed. Thank you, Rodrigo, for being my co-mod, even though I know it's a very out of your comfort zone topic. Rodrigo doesn't pick our topics. I do. So the poor man is just along for the ride. But
wouldn't be the first time.
And then everybody just, thank you, Carmen, Doc Rico, Lupita, Stefano, Melissa, Hugo. I appreciate you all. The room is never rich with just Rodrigo and I. It takes all of you to come up and contribute and help everybody else who's listening to this right now and to the replay. So thank you so much for being here. Just a reminder that we'll be here next week also, same time, noon Eastern time. And next week we're going to be talking about food and eating disorders. How do you maybe identify those warning signs in our children and in ourselves too? So much of what we talk about in parenting can be used across the board in our adult life too. So I hope that you come and join us again next week. And just thank you, everybody. Right above your head, this is my app. If you'd like to get more of what you of me, and basically it's like carrying me around in your pocket, that app up there, it's a free download, available on Android, available on Apple. And yeah, thank you, everybody. I'm going to give you guys a chance to say goodbyes. Rodrigo?
As always, Christina, thank you for getting these topics. And, as much as this topic, I'm willing to talk about it, but more in a private setting, right? So for me, talking about it in a public setting is definitely out of my comfort zone. But it is a conversation that's really important to have. And I'm glad that we had it. I'm glad that we're here. And I appreciate everybody's contributions to it. Carmen, Doc Rico, Lupita, Melissa, Hugo, Stefano. It's just a very rich conversation, and I really suspect that we're probably going to have this conversation again, because we kind of touched on the subject about sex for parents, right? But we kind of ventured off into other trajectories that I feel need to be discussed as well, especially when it comes to dating once maybe you're divorced, and afterwards, and you're no longer in a relationship. Whatever the case may be, afterwards. And I think that might be a topic that we need to discuss as well. But thank you as always, Christina.
Thank you for listening today. Remember to subscribe and share this podcast with a friend. And don't forget, the Impactful Parenting Podcast is an extension of the Impactful Parent community. Go to the Impactful Parent website and download the free Impactful Parent app, so you don't miss a parenting tip that could help you and your family. Thanks for listening today. So go to theimpactfulparent.com and see you next episode.